Hello, everyone. Welcome to the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers Podcast. We are joining you, I'll admit it, it is actually Monday morning.
It is Monday morning.
Yes, and we're here right after the Green Bay Packers 24-23 victory over the Chicago Bears. Come from behind. Miracle. Had a lot of storylines in it, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the first and foremost is the quarterback going down and obvious left knee pain. Gets up, grabs the knee, goes back down, has to get carted off. Yeah. I mean, having been here when Shea McClellan broke his collarbone way back when, I mean, that feeling was in the stadium yet again.
Yeah. I thought after looking at the replay that it didn't look as bad as I've seen for ACLs mm-hmm. or something that would knock him out for a long time, and wondered whether there was a chance he would come back. But, you know, you never know in those situations. So, boy, we have a lot to talk about. And I guess I failed to mention that I'm one of your hosts, Tom Silverstein, and I'm here with Jim Osarski. And let's get right into the game and talk about how bad the Packers were in the first half. I mean, this was a tale of two games, two halves, and really two different teams. Why don't you speak to what you saw from the Packers, and I'll talk about the Bears.
Sure. I guess I wasn't surprised how slowly the Packers' offense began. Mm-hmm. I guess there were some high-scoring games this week, Tom, but, you know, for the most part, it seems like starting offenses have had their issues. And this has been the case, I think, since teams have really prevented their guys from playing a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and we talked about this. Vic Fangio's defense, how much Khalil Mack and Roquan Smith were going to play. It's a pretty good group. So, you know, the five and out, the three and out. I mean, that didn't surprise me. I think, you know, Justin McCray's early struggle. I don't know what that was about. It was a bull rush strip sack that Corey Linsley recovered. There were two holds. That was a really – so, I mean, there was just a lot of bad. And I just wonder if that was a function of these guys just not – I mean, Akeem Hicks is really good. So that's part of it for Justin McCray.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as a whole, I just think that that's, at least to me, that's what that first three possessions were.
Yeah, so I'm looking at it from the Bears' perspective, and if I'm Matt Nagy, if I'm Vic Fangio, I'm going, okay, what's the weak link on their offensive line? It's Justin McCray.
Yeah.
So I'm going to find a way to get Akeem Hicks one-on-ones with Justin McCray. I'm also going to try to get Khalil Mack matched up with Brian Bulaga because Brian Bulaga hasn't played a game in 10 months.
Right.
And it was a great game plan. What they really did was force a lot of one-on-one blocks. The way they set up, it was hard for them to double – Akeem Hicks, he was almost always on the outside shoulder of McCray. So I think it was hard for Linsley to get over and double-team him. And then Bulaga was just rusty.
Yeah.
He just didn't look slow. He looked not powerful, kind of tentative. And talking to him in the locker room afterwards, he said that he went in and reevaluated his game plan against Mack and changed some things, and probably not in the nick of time or in the nick of time because
which is interesting. I mean, because our whole run up to this, Tom, was how rusty and, you know, perhaps lack of explosiveness was Khalil Mack have.
Yeah, boy, I was wrong on that. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I was wrong.
That was an incredible performance.
That guy was everywhere. Was he motivated or what?
Right.
You know, he just came to play. And he did. He wore out.
Yeah.
I think he wore out by the end of the game, and that probably helped the Packers as well. But so you're Green Bay. You go into the before we go into halftime. Let's go over the disaster that was Deshaun Kizer.
Yeah. So Rodgers gets hurt. Kizer comes in. The Bears. Well, the reason he comes in when he does is, let's not forget too, Matt Nagy, rather than punting and putting the Bear and the Packers in a position, Deshaun Kizer backed up in his own end. Mm-hmm. He goes for it near midfield. They don't get it.
Right.
And which is a theme for this Packers defense after the first quarter, but so put a pin in that. So Kizer gets half a field to work with, and actually moved the ball. It was those first three plays were the most they had moved the ball the entire game.
It was.
Right into the red zone. And Tom, having watched Deshaun Kizer twice last year, having to watch him, to prepare to watch him twice last year, this is where he melted down a year ago in Cleveland. I mean, 8 of his 22 interceptions a year ago were in the red zone. He fumbled twice. 2 of his 9 fumbles were in the red zone. And what happens? You know, it kind of bogs down, and he drifts right into Khalil Mack's rush.
Yes.
I mean, you know, Brian, you look at it, and I'm sure at the end of the day, you know, Bulaga is a vet, and he'll probably say, look, I got to block better, but let's be real. Kizer just kind of rolled right into him, and Khalil Mack just said, I'm going to take this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was the worst part. You know, you can live with the sack.
Right, right.
But he takes the ball right out of his hands.
Right.
You can't do that. No, I mean, you're the backup quarterback. The only thing, if you don't do anything else, don't turn the ball over.
Right.
And he does
and
it
he
twice.
Did. So the defense, you know, stops the Bears again. And I guess this was curious at the time, Tom. You know, there's some chatter in the press box about, you know, why would Mike McCarthy try to put the – Not knowing Rodgers' situation. Who knows? Maybe he did know Rodgers' situation at that point. They thought, hey, Mikey could come back. But you know, rather than run it out and regroup, he kind of stepped on the gas a little bit. And
with 50 seconds left. Yeah, I think they got the ball back with 50 seconds
and
left.
And Deshaun Kizer admitted to – he told me in the postgame locker room that, hey, I tried to make a great play on that screen. He's like, I made a – bad play, and it was even worse with the pick six to Khalil Mack, who he said he didn't see at that point because of the pressure.
Yeah, well, this all goes to what we talked about just on this other one, was know who you're playing against.
Right.
And so in the first one, he knows Khalil Mack's to his right.
Yeah.
You have to know that. And so if you're going to try to get outside, you better make sure that you can get outside. The other thing is, on a screen, if it's not there, you don't try to make a great play on a screen.
Especially because he was almost sacked. It was a great play by Robertson Roy, yeah.
Right, and there's 50 seconds left.
Right.
You know, even if you make a great play, you're talking 10 yards on a screen.
Yeah.
So that's just not using your head. I mean, he's not a dumb guy, but I think he sometimes might lack some football
sense. Yeah.
You know, he's trying way, way too hard to make something happen. So that really put them in the hole. So at halftime, they're down 20 to nothing. I'm sorry, 17 to nothing. And out comes Rodgers. I didn't think he had a cap on, and I didn't think he was going to play.
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, he was done. But then you see him jog to the sideline at the last minute, and it sure looked like he told McCarthy on the way out that, okay, I'm ready to play. And it was, you know, I've seen that kind of thing happen before, but it doesn't always lead to a win.
Right.
What do you think changed from the moment he got on the field?
Well, I don't discount emotional lifts. I will agree with the quarterback. He brought up the eternal football sports debate over momentum, lack of momentum in a game. I am a believer in that type of thing. The quarterback is as well, and I think there was an emotional lift, clearly. the defense had been playing very well since essentially the end of the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But I think offensively, I think Mack wore down. The line came together. Justin McCray didn't have any more issues. Mm-hmm. I thought Brian Bulaga did okay.
Mm-hmm. He recovered.
He recovered and
still had, you know, I mean, Mac was still pushing. Right. But.
And the ball came out fast. And I, mm-hmm. you know, and suddenly, you know, that separation we didn't see early, there was that. And I don't, you know, I guess we'll have to look back totally at the All-22s or something to see if Vic Fangio changed up what he was doing in the secondary. But it did seem like there were a lot of uncontested catch and runs. And then Geronimo Mileson, of course, with a great contested catch in the end zone.
I thought, and I'll have to go back and look at it, but I thought that they started playing their safeties deeper and played a lot of two shell,
right.
and that allowed Rodgers to do a lot of underneath stuff. And
which blew my mind, Tom, because he was clearly whatever his diagnosis is going to be. You knew from that first throw with Davante Adams, 8 yards, but he didn't kind of – he just kind of flicked it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was surprising to me that they didn't bring – I mean, I know blitzing Aaron Rodgers is a terrible by the percentages, but the percentages to me change in Vic Fangio's favor with that injury.
Yeah.
And I would have – tested it.
I think they tried on several occasions to blitz up the middle, including the one that was most impressive was on, I think it was on Adams.
Yeah, 51 yards. Yeah.
Where Jamal Williams just steps up and stones Trevathan.
Right.
I mean, just a great block. I think they were a little bit worried about leaving guys one-on-one, but they did try to make Jamal Williams block, and he came through for it.
Yeah. But why wouldn't they – and I know it's Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Kizer. I understand that there's two different guys, clearly. But Kizer's in, and they brought – there was a time where they brought edge pressure. It was Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack coming, and Mack ended up being unblocked.
Mm-hmm.
I just find it interesting, and I understand maybe you get inside pressure and it – you're trusting your edge guys to get around. But I don't know. He clearly couldn't really move like Aaron Rodgers can move.
Yeah. Well, they tightened up the pocket.
Yeah,
and one thing
they did.
I thought Bulaga did was set – I think they all kind of set a little shorter. And then knowing that Rodgers was going to get rid of it or that he wasn't going to run.
Right. That's
just
true.
Just create this pocket, small pocket for him. And –
because he was really able to slide out a little bit, yeah. The big touchdown to Randall Cobb. I mean, it was vintage kind of Rodgers slide. Yeah. Kind of I use that word slide, right? I mean, he didn't really. He just kind of meandered to his left and just read that scramble drill with Cobb and
And even the touchdown to Geronimo Allison, he looked off everything to the left. I mean, he was looking left the whole time and kind of, I think, moving a little bit to his left and then came back to the right to Allison, who had one-on-one coverage. That was really impressive. So the order in that which that happened was, so they hit the 39-yard touchdown pass to Allison with 13:59 to go in the fourth quarter. Then they get the ball back and Adams gets the 12-yard pass. And then just made a great move to get into the end zone. I mean, that was really
a
phenomenal move.
Great footwork.
Yep. And then the Bears come back and kick a field goal. Now, the part that – so I'm watching this, and they're driving down, and they're running the ball. And they're getting some yards and they're getting some first downs. I'm going to just check the play-by-play here. So, so this is a 14-play, 61-yard drive, and I'm watching Howard, 22 yards, Trubisky short to Anthony Miller for 11 yards, Justin Howard again up for 11 yards. This reminded me so much of a Dom Capers end of the game where they can't get off the field and the other team just seals it with a late touchdown. And so I'm thinking all the way that, you know, here they are first and 10 at the 22 that they're going to score.
Yeah.
Score a touchdown.
Yeah. One little note And I'll give Mike McCarthy credit here on the challenge. And he said the benefit of the Lambeau Jumbotron. I mean, he challenged to get to the 22. Jordan Howard actually was ruled out at the 16. And the challenge brought 6 yards back. And the reason I mentioned that, Tom, is because two plays later, or you get a tackle for loss, almost a fumbled snap.
Mm-hmm.
There's an 11-yard Jordan Howard run. It's 3rd and 2.
Yeah.
And it's an incompletion.
Right.
I mean, 6 yards, that kind of mattered. The extra 10 seconds didn't. So I just mentioned that because I mean, he won the challenge, but there's a reason you do it, and it benefited them in that instance. But you're right. I mean, the Packers, the Bears went 3 for 4 on third down in the first quarter. They only converted 4 more third downs the rest of the game.
Hmm.
I can't speak to Dom Capers' end of his tenure, Tom, like mm-hmm. that. But I agree with you. Social media, Packers fans are just, oh, here we go again. And yet they managed to make that stop.
Yeah, it's just one of those classic drives where they couldn't get off the field. And this time they did. You know, they had pretty good pressure. I thought the pressure got better late in the game. Matthews, Perry, Kenny Clark had a really nice game. He really showed a lot, I thought. He was about the only guy on defense who was playing well in the first half.
Yeah.
So the Packers get the ball back on their own 25, and Rodgers misfires on the first two, and then it's 3rd and 10. So what I saw was Chicago trying to cover Cobb with a safety, Eddie Jackson, who's a really good safety. But once you get into scramble play, then it's a big mismatch. Yeah.
Especially with two guys who know each other so well. And I asked Aaron that question in the press conference, Tom, and basically just, is that one of those we're 10 years together?
Mm-hmm.
And Rodgers is like, yeah. I mean, as soon as we're rolling and Randall plants his leg, he knew exactly where to throw it. Mm-hmm. He knew that was a throw and where to throw it. And, you know, you had a second-year safety just kind of...
Oh, he had no chance.
No, yeah.
There was no chance. Because it was, he's driving across the field, then he stops and goes the other way, and Eddie Jackson had no chance. And give Cobb and Ty Montgomery some credit for...
Yeah, it's a long way to go.
Ty Montgomery blocked two guys, and Cobb... And then... At the end of that Cobb run, who's taking a shot at him at the 1 yard line? Khalil Mack.
I know.
Runs all the way down the field.
Yeah. Don Beebe in the house today too, I think, right?
Yes,
I
mean,
there's
right.
definitely one guy who would have appreciated that. I mean, yeah, that was to see 52 down there.
Yeah.
You know, making that last ditch effort.
That
was incredible.
That was incredible. I have a lot of respect for that guy. So Packers have a chance to wrap this thing up with a minute 46. And, you know, their rookie corners played pretty well.
I thought so.
You know, they
Mike Pettine trusted them early and often. A lot of dime.
Devon House did not play.
Yeah.
You know, he did not play on defense.
Right.
And they went with Alexander, Jackson, Whitehead, and the Tremont Williams and Kevin King. And I thought, you know, those guys played pretty good. Josh Jackson defended one of the last plays. Alexander defended what should have been the last play.
Right.
And Clay Matthews, who hadn't hit the quarterback all day, decides to hit him, and it's roughing the passer.
Apparently. Yeah. That was one of those where you've seen that go the other way. You mentioned the emotional lift of the quarterback coming back. I mean, the other 10 guys thought they won the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know who it was, the corner on Matthew's side there, lifted his hands up, he's running to the sideline, and then it's like, no, you got to come back and do it again for 4 more
downs.
Oh, I saw
one of the guys go down on his knees and just go, shaking his head, like, what the heck, you know. Well, somehow, after a 12-yard completion, they managed to get off the field again, and they played pretty good pass defense, and they end it with a sack from Nick Perry, which... That's your big time guys come up with big time sacks like that. And I think if we go back and look at it, we're going to see that it was the secondary that caused that sack.
I think so. They played. The Packers really weren't able to to get to Trubisky. And I think they got a little taste of what it's like, I think, for other teams trying to chase down Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Trubisky, I thought, did a good job extending plays. And if there was pressure to get out of it, it really worked early. I mean, he didn't – obviously was not as accurate later.
Yeah. So – what did you think of Mike Pettine's defense? Boy, on the blog in the first half, all anybody was saying, oh, this is the Dom Capers defense. Nothing's changed in Green Bay. It's exactly the same. Same team can't get off the field, can't stop the run, blah, 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 blah. What did you think from what you saw?
I was really surprised to see, I guess, as much dime with both rookie corners.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it wasn't even – I think there was a second and four, and he put that dime package out there mm-hmm. early. I mean, so there were I thought he was clearly thinking of ways to put who he felt were his best players. And maybe that was in response to Tariq Cohen, who I thought was a mismatch
all day. I think that was a response. They treated him like a wide
receiver. Yeah. And that didn't work either because
he had
a good day. I don't think they brought and Tom, you had asked a question actually earlier in the week about blitz percentages mm-hmm. and what do you want to – again, we'll have to go back and look. I don't really specifically remember seeing a whole lot of we're going to turn up the heat. Mm-mm. And maybe some of that was they didn't want Trubisky to break contain and create their own scramble issues.
I think Pettine wanted to find out whether he could rush with four and get there. And it was clear he can't. He couldn't.
Yeah.
At least today he could.
Right. You mentioned Clay Matthews. He was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
Except in the bad way.
Missed tackles.
I mean, the touchdown, the read option. I mean, you wouldn't think a 10-year veteran would collide with his own player on a running back who doesn't have the ball. I mean, mm-hmm. clearly from that point, I mean, at least the way I read that, coming from the right side and the option is to your side.
Yeah.
His read's the quarterback.
Yeah, he missed a bad tackle on someone in the backfield, too. I can't remember if it was Cohen or Howard.
Yeah.
Not a great start for him. I think what I saw was a lot. I think Pettine was being a little bit honest when he said he'll bring the blitz when he needs to, and he needed to in the second half. And then you started to see a few more exotic blitzes. One time he flooded the left side with three guys, and I think at least two of them had free runs.
I know there was one missed tackle on Trubisky that he kind of slipped. I think it was Josh Jackson might have been.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was Whitehead. I saw the the three.
Trubisky is very mobile, very athletic. You know, you kind of heard about that coming out of from the combine in last year, but you didn't really see it last year because they had him under wraps so much. But I do wonder why there was so much space between him and anybody in the middle.
Yeah.
There was never a linebacker like coming up or anything like that. I don't know if that was a result of the Bears' routes or if it was the defense that they were playing. And you know, they were just hoping to contain him. But he hurt him with his running.
Yeah. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I think – and Matt Nagy gave Mike Pettine credit for moving out a man into some zone coverages and sort of admitting his own fault as a play caller – to having designed a lot of things to beat man coverages and not having answers the other way. So at the end of the day, it's about winning the game, right? And, you know, they didn't give up the pick six. So after that first 15 minutes and 4 seconds when they gave up 10 points,
mm-hmm.
They only gave up six.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think Pettine just flipped his tendency. You know, he's a third down man guy. That's what he's always played. And for whatever reason, he slipped. I want to go back and look at that and see if he did that all game long or just did it in the second half. But they kind of just spread out in the, you know,
yeah,
seven guys and dared the Bears to throw it. Another aspect of the defense, we talked about the pass rush. Safety play was good and bad. I mean, I thought Clinton Dix made a great play on a third and two.
Solo tackle on Deion Sims.
Yeah. And then he came back and blew a tackle on Jordan Howard. You know, that's the kind of thing that happens to safeties. But if he's going to have a really big year, those are kind of tackles right. He wants to make. So going forward, I don't know what Rodgers' injury is going to be. I do remember Favre suffering an LCL tear against Washington, and then they had a bye week, and he came back and played. I'm not saying this is an LCL tear. I don't.
It's the side of the knee that you know the defender fell on, and just from my own personal history, MCLs you're just not. I mean that you can't do anything if you tear an MCL.
Yeah, I don't think he could have played. I mean, I've seen guys come back in a week from them, but yeah, they leave the game. Yeah,
right. And you need support. And I think he said he just put a sleeve on. It was funny, he invoked Brett Favre in the press conference
to mention that.
Yeah.
Well, this was not unlike one of those Favre games in 99 when he had the first three games and he won them all on last series of the game. You know, big comeback victories. So we'll have to see going forward, I think. They're going to have to protect better, and they got the Vikings coming up. And
it helps that it's a home game.
But, boy, the Vikings look good.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of their game?
I did not. We are, on a personal level, we're still adjusting and moving to our thing. So, I have to take advantage of all that time. I'll dive into the Vikings this week. But we know, obviously, though, knowing Mike Zimmer and what they do. I mean, they're in that sweet spot defensively.
Yeah, I mean, they picked off Garoppolo three times.
Yeah. Oh, Jimmy G looked like a guy who was game planned for, right?
Yeah. they put some pressure on him. He actually didn't, well, except for the interceptions, he played okay. But they look really tough, and Dalvin Cook looked good, and Cousins played a pretty solid game. So, like I said, we'll get into that. All right. Anything else we missed out of this?
No. You know what? I'll say only because we mentioned it in the run-up, Tom. I thought J.K. Scott. Tariq Cohen had a long punt return, but I thought you didn't have an errant, wayward snap on the game-winning extra point. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're kind of those rookie specialists. I thought you didn't want to be talking about him in a bad way, right?
Yeah.
I thought they did all right. And receiver wise, catch and run, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, it was, Jimmy Graham was kind of a not statistical non-factor. They tried to get him the ball. I would say that'd be the one thing that, in terms of the offense not working early.
Yeah.
He was, I don't know if taken away is the right word.
I saw this later in the game. I didn't notice it until later. McCarthy kind of indicated they did it more often. But, Mac would, if Jimmy Graham was on Mac's side, he would, and was kind of flexed, not too far out in the slot, but just kind of flexed off the line a few yards. Mac would line up right over Graham, and they'd give him a forearm shiver or whatever it took to get him off his route. And that really slowed him down and took him out. They did that no matter what side he was on, and I think that affected him. Did not have much of a game. Four targets, two catches, eight yards.
Yeah.
Not good. But, when Randall Cobb's catching 9 of 10 for 142 and a touchdown, Adams 5 for 88, and a touchdown, and Geronimo Allison 5 of 69 for a touchdown.
Yeah, production out of your receiving core.
Yeah.
So
now one interesting thing we didn't address was the inactives.
Yeah.
And Trevor Davis was an inactive
right.
after playing in the Kansas City game and practicing all week.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they said they added him on the injury report, which I didn't know you could do that on a Sunday.
Yeah, I know. I've never heard of that. I've never had that happen either. Which actually makes Randall Cobb's day even that much more impressive.
Yeah. Because
he was their primary punt returner on Sunday.
Yeah, and did a pretty good job with it, too. He had one return for 17 yards, but he had three fair catches as well.
Right.
Didn't mishandle the ball whatsoever. The other interesting part of the inactives was that the three rookie wide receivers, Jamon Moore was the one who was inactive.
Right.
And so Valdez-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown both played.
Yeah.
Now, Valdez-Scantling was the only one to run routes.
Yeah.
I didn't
he also was back on kick return.
Right.
He did field one kick return.
Right. I think Equanimeous St. Brown was strictly special teams.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which ones I didn't quite see. But I think it was kickoff return. So, yeah, that was an interesting aspect to that.
Yeah.
And I do think it's going to be one of those things where who's practicing better that week.
Right.
And but you know, until as long as Geronimo Allison keeps playing like that, you know, the rookies won't have to play a whole time.
Yeah. That's true.
All right. So tomorrow schedule or today's schedule actually is McCarthy speaking at I think it was 1 o'clock.
Yeah, 1 o'clock, a little earlier.
Yeah, and then locker room at 2:50. So be sure you check and be sure you go to JS Online and PackersNews.com for all our coverage. Also, the live blog is on there, an archive of it, if you want to go back and see all the people who were jumping on the ledge, almost off the ledge. It was pretty comical, actually. I can't believe how many people get so frustrated they will declare the season over in the first half of the first game.
Right. Talking to Bears writers, it was the other way around.
Yeah,
it was the reincarnate of the 86 Bears. So, you know,
maybe
the 85 Bears.
Just I've seen so many games that
you know better.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, let's close this out, and we will be with you again on Thursday, correct?
Yeah.
Thursday morning. Yep. So I'll start the music, and everybody have a really nice week, and talk to you soon.